All right, this is the afternoon, November 13th. And I want to make a remark here concerning the state of case of people here. Because many of you probably don't feel entirely that you're up as high as you could go. But I think you all feel that you feel a bit different than when you came here. Is that the case? Yeah. Well, that is one of the difficulties of looking for an ultimate. Looking for an ultimate, you, of course, have to have the ultimate you look for before you look for the ultimate. And if we were to agree forcefully enough that for an individual to be able to put any emotion he desired into any object or person was the ultimate which we were trying to attain, and we had drilled on that, and we could all do that, we would have reached an ultimate. But we have not postulated such a thing in Theta Clearing. We have postulated that the sky was the limit. How good can a Thetan get? Well, I'll tell you frankly, I can theorize as to how good a Thetan can get, and I can look around and see how good some of them have gotten, but do you know, I never saw a Thetan get so good that he couldn't get better. Funny, but it's true. I never saw one get so good that he couldn't get better. They get exteriorized. For instance, this morning, I was going to do some processing on Dick there, and I got a telephone buzzer about halfway through the session. I got one later in the session. And practically through the PA, I was processing into convulsions. And I had to use noise on the process quite a bit on the randomity of noise just to quiet this pre-clear down. Consequently, I didn't get to give him a session. But the obvious direction of processing is to return perceptics and the ability to use force, and to discard the necessity to hide. And we can describe that as a fairly finite goal, but believe me, that's an awfully high goal. I mean, no church ever shot for that goal. No church ever described this goal, except they once in a while say in a grand way, God can do anything, and then some little kid goes down here and he says, please God, send me a bicycle, and there's no bicycle. So I guess they haven't even described that goal adequately. The kids have undescribed it so often. The point I'm trying to make is that you can keep on going up. Don't lose sight of that. That's no reason that you have to go on up forever. But as you go on up, exactly what are you doing? What are you doing when you're going up? Right now, this material universe looks very real. It looks very solid. It looks very much like it is here. And yet I processed somebody who was pretty well up the other day who had actually kicked an anchor point or two loose. And the lines were going out of parallel in this universe. I simply, as I processed her, processed the universe out of existence. Is that right? And processed it back into existence again. That right? Yeah, everything, this stuff just went boom. I mean, it wasn't there, and then it was there, and there was a body in the chair, now a body in the chair, now two or three here have had that experience of all of a sudden there's no body in the chair. And then they try to fit bodies into the chair, and the automatic machinery they have to build and fit bodies into chairs starts going into a key, and I'm processing this character over here, and he is the machine that built and kept apparent a four-year-old body, went back into action again. And it kept putting a body in the chair. Just very reliable. That was a very reliable body, wasn't it?
Four darn bodies in the chair.
Yeah, and then we got kicked that machine out, kicked another machine out. You've always set up some sort of automaticity to make this stuff very apparent. Now, 24 hours a day, you go around relying on the stuff, see? And then for 10 minutes, you process it. Well, it's certainly... a great tribute to the strength of a Thetan and what we're doing, that we can, in a half an hour's processing, cancel out the last couple of months of super dependency on an anchor point, which is being made up by a machine which he is no longer taking any responsibility for. That's pretty good, you know. And it's pretty remarkable. I want to give you one thing about these cases that hang fire and get into blackness. They have selected out for their randomity sensation. I hate to have to say that. I wasn't going to say that during this course until the very last end of the course, because it sometimes bogs down the case and people feel kind of insulted about it. But I'll just give it to you now, straight from the shoulder, in view of the fact that I won't have to process out the repercussions. And that is that a person who is having difficulty in this culture at this time has tangled with sensation for his randomity. Now, I think immediately, having looked over this material, you can see exactly what would happen. See, one gets curious about and desires an external sensation. And then, all of a sudden, somebody furnishing the external sensation, whether it's a sun, moon, or stars, it just doesn't matter. A girl, a boy, a dog, it doesn't matter. All of a sudden, that person or thing, whether it's affection or sexual sensation, suddenly turns around and goes away, or betrays one, or starts ridiculing one, and it makes one feel then that he no longer wants this type of an emotion. It comes up to that sufficiency of level. So he selects out this type of emotion for his randomity. And that then is randomity. He joins the church, I think it was Manichaeus, the philosophy that eschewed sex entirely. Well, it took that cult a very short time to spin in. Very short. Because they had this whole idea that we mustn't get any sexual sensation. Of course, they just cut the world out from underneath their feet. Because they'd selected out something which they were putting in to get back as their randomity, which selected out a part of themselves. You should see that immediately. That's the second that you select out something, you select out a part of yourself. And when that is selected out, now we ask the fellow to try to get back some of this of himself. Well, the root, obvious root, is to take possession of all those things which he has selected out as randomity. See, it becomes very easy. PC wandered in here the other day. It was in a course some months ago, pretty good shape, and he was stumbling around and falling upstairs and so forth. What had happened to him in the interim? Well, he didn't have to say what had happened to him in the interim, but there was this piece of gorgeousity that he had run into had left him flatter than the well-known flounder. And he had selected out, between the time he took the course and the time he was here, he had selected out the second dynamic, my God, the second dynamic for his randomity. Oh, I mean, let's get real. He just suddenly pong. So as soon as I drilled him, and look, by the way, I only drilled him, getting back up, only drilled him for about 5 minutes. I finally got him by gradient scale to be able to put first other emotions into things, and then got him by gradient scale to put into anything, no matter how inanimate or appealing or non-appealing and so forth, to really floods and furors of sexual sensation. Ping! We've given him back a part of himself, that part of himself he most desired. So he desired this thing tremendously. So in this society, it's so rigged that men select out women for their randomity, men select out women. Women select out men. Here we go, here we go, here we go. And so the meshed universe holds this out to you as bait. It says to you, now we're going to furnish you as much second dynamic or third dynamic or ecstasy or happiness as you can manufacture until you are convinced you're no longer manufacturing, at which moment, we're not going to put it there anymore. That's a real neat trick. It's the way you disenfranchise Satan. It's the only way you do it. You're getting curious about something, and then getting to desire it, and then enforce that he have it, such as marriage services, marital laws, and that sort of thing, and then inhibit him from having it, which is, now that you're married, you mustn't be promiscuous, old fellow. You know, no more of this sort of thing, you know. And then we run up a few years on the body, and then the doctor says, well, it's your heart, really. And if you indulge any more in intercourse and so on, why, it'll probably fail. And he wonders why the fellow dies shortly afterwards for a moment or two until he remembers that he's given him this advice. And then he realizes what the fellow did. He overindulged and failed. It's obvious, isn't it? Well, there's a system that underlies this. You should know it by this time. Automaticity, randomity. But what's the cue to this system? Where do we enter in the system? The problem of barriers, limitations, and resistances is the problem of randomity. Anytime you select something for a barrier, you have selected it out of randomity. Anytime you've selected a limitation, why, you select it out. Now, a couple of years ago, I came up with a principle known as validation of things. Those things which were validated became true. And those things which were ignored had a tendency to slip away. A process resulted out of this called validation processing. It unfortunately didn't work very well or very long on a case. And it didn't work well because nobody it was being worked on was willing to validate anything but bad news. So you had to break their willingness, and we've got I'm not there, they're not there, as the bad news. See? And you run that process for a while, the fellow recognizes this, that he's got places where he dares not be in order not to be someplace. And he runs this out, and he comes in then on a basis of he'll validate good news. But why didn't the process work actually? It's because we are saying bad and good. You see, there's no such thing as bad and good. These are considerations and are certainly at the discretion of the individual, and they're a game that somebody made up, the game without limits. Everybody is riding above a game without limits at all times in his thinkingness. But he continues to validate certain things. That means to say he continues to fix his attention upon certain things, and in fixing his attention, he gets his attention stuck. Or he refuses to fix his attention on certain things until finally, not having fixed no attention on them, he has created a vacuum where it is, and he goes into it. So the fixed-unfixed attention is the basis of randomity itself. But what is this stuff messed? It's a barrier. And what is an engram? An engram is a barrier. And what is an idea? An idea which limits one is in itself a barrier. One says, I cannot do such a thing, or everything I do turns out wrong. And he says this often enough, he set up a barrier. He set up a barrier in terms of consideration. Well, when he sets up this barrier, the next step of it is to set up an actual barrier which prevents him from doing something wrong. One of the things that he does, for instance, is to invent a bulletproof vest. He knows he wasn't doing anything wrong, so he decides other people probably have to be restricted too. So he sets up walls and jails and so forth, and he finally decides that he can't stop everybody in the world from shooting each other. He can certainly stop them from shooting him, and he starts getting bulletproof vests. That's the screen device. Well, this whole thing starts simply by selecting out pleasurable sensation as a randomity. The entire Roman Empire went by the boards, as beautiful, as gorgeous, as gaudy as it was, went by the boards because a bunch of people, dirty as pigs, came swarming in on it from the Middle East saying, all beauty is bad, and down with the Roman baths. We're against the Romans, so therefore beauty is bad, and for 1,500 years nobody took a bath. Until the King of France experimentally gave some beggar a bath, and the fellow died of pneumonia as a result. And from this experiment, it was so fatal that people after that started to take baths. Anyway, the entire Dark Ages were simply brought about by selecting out beauty for randomity. The Christian church selected out beauty for randomity, and away went humanity. And they haven't amounted to a hill of beans since, as far as individuals are concerned, except in isolated places where pioneer work could be done. You see that? In America, they at least permitted them to have beauty in pieces of metal. right now, the car that you just heard go by is beauty in a piece of metal. And that's a very covert way to get around that randomity, isn't it? But remember that when you're processing an individual, you are setting up a validation of certain things. And by a certain system, and by a certain communication system, the fact that he finds that it works actually validates it. And you can validate a communication system until at last the communication system itself comes as rigid as steel cables. Now, this desk here is a barrier, one sort or another. It blocks sight on this. It blocks touch. It blocks effort. That's a pretty good barrier. Consequence, you find a whole society where every intellectual man sits behind a desk. That's real great. That makes huge, towering, strong, beautiful men. That sure does not. And they handle these big, heavy pieces of paper. Well, after a while, they'll get these things printed down so thin that they won't even have to lift that enormous weight of paper. It'll sort of flicker across in front of them. I recommend to you a story called One Was Stubborn. I wrote one time, many, many, many years ago, 1939, in a society where everybody had everything done for them. This was intensely unpopular, this story. It was intensely unpopular with the editor. He really writhed over it, but he had a hole in the magazine created by a shortage by namely me. And so he bought it and he published it. And this story, of course, is the kid of all science fiction. Naturally, everything is dreamed up in the society, so everything is done for everybody, so that there's nothing but barriers all over the place till they're so sick of barriers they decide they don't exist anymore. And there's just one fellow who has decided in the society that there was some solidity underneath it all, and because he won't believe it's all gone, it has a tendency to hang around. And they go gunning for him. They try to find this fellow that still insists there is a messed universe. That's what would happen eventually. Everybody, that's what happened to Ars Lycus. We can run it in n-grams. It sounds very, very interesting in numbers of ways. But what happened to it was that everybody got so damn sick of these barriers. They finally did something about it and they had none left. There went an entire city and civilization, which was built not even on a planet. It was just sitting in thin space. Well, now, when we look at a barrier, remember that running your PC, it's a hell of a thing for me to say, I know, but running a PC consistently and continually into n-grams is telling him all the time, there is a barrier there called an n-gram. Well, of course, the fact of the matter is there is a barrier there called an n-gram. But if you ran him into nothing but n-grams and never brought him into present time, he'd get pretty solid because that's the stuff out of which barriers are made. You see, so our fight in all of processing is to least validate barriers and most validate choices of barriers, because you're going to get in processing, just as you did one day here, ran somebody down to a point where he knew he was a concept. Of course, he was in contest with space and he didn't go all the way through on the process, but he had become to a point where he didn't have any barriers. Do you know that you can run somebody on love and affection to a point where he's just suffering to have some hate? If he could just have a little hate, what's he want with hate? Hate makes barriers. It is out of that emotion that barriers are made. And so you get hating in space opera when there are no barriers and everything is so free and so loose in all directions. Boy, can those guys hate. Affection. Who wants anything to do with affection? Oh, no, no affection, please. Why? It melts everything. That's what happens to it. I mean, actually, energy-wise, melts any barrier that's been set up. This PC I was this morning, I said, the 3 feet back of your body, now feel some affection for your eyes. No! The whole ridge went. First time she'd ever done anything but curse him. She wonders why they have this huge ridge right in front of them. She can't see through. She said, I hate ours. And she started out by saying, I've got to see in order to receive a sensation. I can't put a sensation in anything. And then she went 50 years training herself that some automatic mechanism in her being was putting truth and light out into the world. Our Father who doeth all the work was doing this. And when she first came here, she was absolutely unable under any circumstances to alter the mood or action of a single piece of mist. Everything was completely inevitable, and it was so solid that it sat immediately against her face and her eyes when she tried to look at it. It wasn't a question of visio, it was a question of barriers. And so it is with every perception problem. The more you try to make somebody see an engram, the less they're going to see. Unless you take it at such a light gradient scale that you say, now look, we just go at this way, and what do you know, we plow this right on and you see through it. See, so on some people, engrams would erase, and on some people, they wouldn't erase. And some people, you erased engrams and they got in good condition. Some people, why, we erased engrams and they didn't erase. They just bonked. Well, why? They were past the point of validating a barrier. What kind of a barrier do you have to have? Well, that has to be answered. The fellow has to have a barrier, then he's created something for his randomity. Well, this material around here is actually just stuff. It's just material. We have this agreement on it, and it's being manufactured at a mad rate, but it sits up there all the time and will continue to sit there as long as anybody believes in it, as long as anybody keeps that machine going. We've got this stuff up here in the corner of the room, and this stuff over in the other corner of the room, but if it belongs to somebody else, you can't see it. This case this morning is to such a pass that the whole world belongs to somebody else. Everything belongs to somebody else. It belongs to God and the indwelling mind. That's somebody else. That's other determinism. Now this person is expected to see it. She's no longer subscribing to any manufacture of it. What is the drill which remedies this case in the final analysis? Now this sounds very funny to you, but you should be able to put in and take out at will thought, emotion, and effort into any piece of mist or any being of any kind. The body actually is motivated on such a wise. You just continually put thought, emotion, and effort into the thing. Put more thought, emotion, effort into the thing until it's an habitual thing. You try to disturb some preclear from doing this. Well, he's putting thought, emotion, and effort into something else, somewhere else. And his mind isn't on himself, and he hopes by being processed that something else somewhere will get processed. If his case isn't making any progress at all. So you do an assessment and find out what he's all messed up with. What's he got his attention on? The second you do an assessment, the case starts to break wide open. We demonstrated that this morning with the toughest case in class. Okay? E-meter. A good old E-meter. Just sat there and told stories all over the place. And wham, 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 and got all sorts of things done. Now, a drill of putting thought, emotion, and effort into this stuff is actually an indicated drill. If you just keep putting emotion into it, you'll get there. But remember that you can also put effort into it. And the day when you can put real solid effort into it, you will be able to go out and make a wall. You understand this? And if you won't put solid effort and so forth into something, you will not attack an engram. You get the difference between these two things. If you're unwilling to put effort into and out of, you feel that all effort there is in the entire world is already there, and you're not capable of using any, then you just have to back away from it. The entire engram bank caves in on lack of effort. I hope this, to some degree, sums up what you're trying to do. You're actually, in final analysis, not just trying to reclaim anchor points. You're trying to get a pre-clear to be able to be above the level of ownership on all the anchor points he's using and to create and destroy anchor points at will. And if you can do this, he can not only create and destroy a few anchor points at will as you get them or flimsily around a cube of space. Ah, no. He'd be able to create walls at will. And although it doesn't look like it in this society today, there is fully as much value in hate as there is in love. One is melt it all away, and that's love, and the other is make it solid, and that's hate. And these, the Thetan reacts on these two things. And why are these two emotions? These two emotions are manufacturing materials. Look at them like that, and you have a lot of it. These people who go around hate, become solider and solider and solider and solider. When somebody has taken their anchor points and is holding them out there, he gets an emotion known as ridicule. And all these emotions are actually dependent upon motions. The one thing, as I told you this morning, that he will really scamper away from, or if he's reinverted, will get very easily, is ridicule. If he's real bad off, he'll get ridiculed easier than anything else. Oh, sure, it's all jeering at me. Look at the car down the street. Yeah, I can feel the car jeering me. Yeah, that's real easy. We'll get some affection from the car. Cars don't feel any affection. They only hate people. Something on that order. All right. It's a relatively simple problem. You should be able to put in and take out at will thought, emotion, and effort into any and all objects, and particularly people. It's a dirty trick for a guy who's in real good shape to do this. You can go down over a street and just drill yourself, putting the whole tone scale from top to bottom, and ridicule, and particularly ridicule and affection. Have them ridiculing you see, and affection into anybody that is passing in the street. And you just keep this up until you can really do that. And all of a sudden, you'll see somebody down there scream. you'll get real savage, maybe. But you should be able to do that. You do that by drilling on mess. That's the way to own mess. Now, there's another way to change wavelength, as I said, change colors of things. Can you look at something blue and make it green? Simple. But it's a good drill. You do it on mock-ups, then all of a sudden one day you'll be able to look at a green automobile, and by golly, it's real blue. I just did it to the automobile down there with my messed eyes. Blue automobile sitting there. And that was real green. Now it's green again. That's merely because its owner says it's green, I guess, or its painter, somebody. Somebody says it's green. But don't get the idea this stuff isn't solid as far as you're concerned. It's just that you can look through it with great ease. The person who is expressing a great deal of hate towards you is trying to make you solid. He's trying to make you solid by throwing a barrier across you that makes it impossible for you to reach him. Very unsuccessful effort. When churches start to talk about making people's brains hard and their hearts soft, they're right in there pitching, believe me. Right in there pitching. That's exactly the wrong items in both places. Here we have the problem of barriers, which is the problem of limitations, which is the problem of gains. Remember that Thetan is as unhappy without barriers as he is with too many barriers. Remember that. You see a case starting to go by the boards. You say, you know, what's the matter with this case? This case has never had enough hate. Sounds silly, but true. It tells you there's a whole, enormous numbers of present time drills by which you change the emotion and colors of the barriers which you see around until they're all yours. But that, to some degree, is validating them as barriers, isn't it? It's saying they really are there. But it's a better drill, because what you're saying right now is it will all take care of itself, and I have nothing to do with it. And it is evaluating where I am all the time, and it belongs to others, and so I am running exclusively on other determinism, not on my own determinism. Now, it's better to recapture the fort before you launch off into the blue. And the way to recapture the fort is with this drill. Now, as far as the process is concerned, you can take a PC who has poor perception and just keep drilling on this silly drill. I mean, just take it on thought, emotion, and effort. See, put some effort from that desk. So, now I'm going to give you this drill a little bit later. And you'll find out that various cases can get it very easily and various cases can get it very poorly on various parts of the band. And what do you know? It's where the preclear is sitting on the band. What he gets easiest. So you make him get it real easy and then go up into something a little more difficult. When somebody tells you immediately, that stuff doesn't think, it doesn't have any emotion in it, jump like you're shot. As far as this case is concerned, be very alert. This person is either blind, or blind as a bat as a Thetan, or having a real rough time on reversals of flaws. And this case needs drills of that character on gradient scales until you just get awful sick and tired of knocking them around. That drill all by itself will fish them out. That's another one of these things that kept on long enough. But that's a much shorter process than self-analysis. Now you make him feel it toward it, have it feel it toward him. Just keep it up. Then you have to have him willing to have other people make it hate him, so forth. And in that wise, you straighten out practically all of his automatic machinery. Now, all automaticity is taken apart by making the preclear do it himself. Got that? Now, let's take a case of somebody who gets an after image all the time. See? He's got an after image. Well, boy, his machinery in the aggregate is sure making things last. See? So, let's just mock up stuff. Let's just make him make things last. See, don't worry about that after image. Now, put up a terminal and then say, all right, now just hold it there. That's right, now hold it there. Now, don't let it fade. Now, hold it there. Now, hold it there. Now, make it disappear and come back right away. Now, make it disappear and come back faster. Now, make it disappear and come back slower. You know, I mean the after image. He gets a mock-up, and then a couple of minutes later, after he said it disappeared, well, he's got it again. This case requires this kind of activity. All right, any type of automaticity, you make the preclear do it. That's just automaticity. He's trying to make it last. He's got machinery. Everything is all rigged to make everything last and endure, endure and endure, endure and endure. The dream of Egypt was eternity. You would have had to have run this on everybody in Egypt a couple, 3,000 years ago. They were making everything endure, all right. All right, now, what process would you use for a person suddenly showing up? Let's say you get a bing on an e-meter that grandma is present right there in the room. There's no sense in running off from this and just skipping it. Grandma is a machine. Grandma has been set up as a facsimile. More and more facsimiles have caked up until at last everything is passing through Grandma's viewpoint. And this, again, is an aid and assistance on occlusion. We find the people who are evaluating from the preclear and they haven't got any viewpoint anymore, you see? He's taken everything off as a Thetan and put it on Grandma's eyes because Grandma knew all about things, so therefore she could see, but it happened she was blind. Anyway, it was a very upsetting sort of a computation, but you run into it. What do we do? Grandma's present, all right? For heaven's sakes, mock up Grandma. We can't mock up Grandma? Well, Grandma's present, but she's not present, all right? Let's be very careful to mock up a no Grandma. How simple. We mock up no Grandmas until that breaks, then we mock up Grandmas, then we have Grandmas giving him advice and so forth. He's just taking control of the machine by doing it. One takes control by doing it. How on earth do you get a body to work? You get a body to work by taking control of it, by making it do something. And then you take it do a little bit, then it'll do more, and it'll do more, and do more, and do more. Truth of the matter is that anybody will work on this principle. Anybody will work on this principle, that if you make it do something, it will do more. And if you make it do nothing, it will do less. And that's why you need a little exercise and shouldn't sit around as audience. I hope that about rounds it up as far as technique theory is concerned.